song title again?
Anda de lo lebi ele du mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
They estimated conservatively at 25,000, and there must be many, many more today. One of the veterans supplies a bit of information, says there were over 100,000.
King George VI and Queen Elizabeth in May 1939 for the first royal tour of Canada by a reigning monarch. Security staff was nervous about the king and queen.
I find it quite wonderful that I can switch from that to another king and queen in the
moment.
Yeah. So, anyway,
it's a nice day.
Dave and Isabel.
Thank you.
What a wonderful world we live in.
I feel like a mother.
Yeah.
A queen mother.
It's kind of hard not to feel like, because, you know, how do you not feel like one, right? Because you are one.
It's what,
like,
is it?
But I'm going to stop them, too.
What is the essence of motherhood? I'll yell that to people as we go by.
It's a wonderful world. Switching from CBC Radio to podcasts and back and forth. I'm in Bluffers Park on a rainy day. It's Thursday. I'm not due to put my podcast out till tomorrow, but I released it today early on Facebook under the Canadian Amateur Podcasters, and then realized, ooh, anybody who follows Ken on Facebook is going to realize that that same Ken, if they happen to follow the link, is also yours truly, the one and only Scarborough Dude. The cat is out of the bag. But, of course, it has been for a long time. You all know that. What I'll have to do is prune my Facebook followers in case there's anybody in there I don't want knowing about. This me, the one talking to you now. Yeah, Thursday, slight rainfall. I've come to Bluffers Park against my better judgment. I did a little work at home. Booked the CN Tower. It's been an odd day, and I've been frazzled, and that's probably why I feel the need to talk to you. I'd like to say that I really just want to talk to myself and that I'm doing this because that's what I do, but that would be a lie because I'm very much aware that this is a podcast and it's reaching other people, and it's not just me talking to me. And so that, you know, inevitably, invariably, whatever, it's just going to cause a little bit of dishonesty, a little bit of a gap between maybe what I'm really feeling and thinking and what I'm willing to share. And that's a little bit of a problem. I've just been rattled today. My son didn't appear to sleep last night. I say goodnight. I hear him on his gaming. And my wife warned me this morning when she got up. We had the coffee going. He didn't sleep last night. And I realized, oh, I guess he's probably not going to make that 9:30 class. Woke him at 8:30. No hope. And so I've left home. He's still in bed. We worry. And it's sometimes just the burden of parenthood. And that's the price you pay when you get into this game. And I say, well, think of how my poor father worried about me. And I know that to be true. And I've turned out okay. And my wife says, yeah, but things maybe were easier then. I could get all these jobs. And I agree. It's a much harder world now. It's a much tougher world to be in. I was just lucky. And so I'm going to own up to that. You know, I could get away with going from this place to that place and this job to that job, and it's not so easy to do that now. So it's a tougher world. I don't think the world is a better place. I know it's a stupid argument to get into, I guess. In so many ways, the world is so much better, just in terms of science and medicine and understanding. We're moving in the right direction overall, and yet, turn on the news, Sudan, a woman married a Christian. She's going to be subject to 100 lashes and then hung by the neck until dead. This is what they say, because is that, what's the word, is it apostasy? Apostasy? I don't know how to pronounce it. You know what I mean. Turning against your religion. She should have been a Muslim. Her father was a Muslim, but was never in her life. So she was raised by her Christian mother as a Christian, married a Christian man. Now, suddenly, the government decides, uh-oh, you can't do that. Told her she had to convert and go back to being a Muslim. She said no, and they said, oh, that's fine, we'll lash you and hang you.
A court in Sudan has sentenced a woman to death for abandoning her religion and marrying a Christian man. The 27-year-old doctor, Miriam Yahya Ibrahim, is 8 months pregnant and is being kept in jail along with her 20-month-old son. At her trial, she insisted she did not violate the country's law that forbids marriage between people of different faiths. Manar Idris speaks for Amnesty International.
Yahya Ibrahim was born in Sudan from a Muslim father and a Christian mother. And according to her, her father was absent during her childhood, therefore she was raised by her mother in the Christian faith. After she asserted in court that she was Christian, the court went ahead and charged her again one more time with apostasy.
Sharia law practiced in Sudan punishes apostasy or abandonment of one's religion by death by hanging. The court also sentenced her to be flogged for adultery because her marriage was not considered valid. The judge has given her 3 days to recant and return to the Muslim faith.
And it's like the worst of all possible science fiction you could ever read. This world of horror and cruelty and dictatorships, and I really don't want to talk about this too much, but, you know, when I'm seeing the world is getting better, I mean, I think that when I look at the quality of television shows, I look at a show like two of my favorites, Family Guy and Modern Family, I think it's in the right direction. I mean, I grew up with Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best. I see the change. I see how far we've come, and I think that's in the right direction. I listen to Louis C.K. as a comedian, but I used to listen to, of course, Bob Hope and Jack Benny. Now, of course, I'll still love Jack Benny, but hey, nobody wants to go back to that kind of humor. We certainly don't want to go back to Bob Hope. Anyway, I left the house just struggling with this. What should I do? Let it go. And I just keep saying, no, he just needs more time. Just going to give him more time. That's all we can do. The way I needed time. And maybe we're doing him a disservice. Maybe I should have been a much harsher father. I'm not capable of being that way. So we're going to leave that. We're going to park that because that's not something I really fully want to get into now. My course is tonight. I'm looking forward to it very much. But I thought, well, I've got to do something to the day. So I did a couple of pokey items. Booked the CN Tower. Booked, all the bicycles on Toronto Island. We go over there and we take all the bikes, you know. I'm not going to tell you the date in case you try to get one. And the little things I have to do for my study tour this summer to plan for the girls. But my biggest concern is the host family. So I made this deal. I think I told you about it. I was going to give a bursary to my college, $500, if I can get somebody to find me 5 new host families. And I drove over to a place of a man I was supposed to see. I'd send him an email Monday, never heard back from him. 4 days later, I thought, okay, I'll just go and see him. I can't say I chickened out, but it just didn't feel right. And I thought, no, if I haven't heard back, that's just a sign. And then this is one of those things in life. We were talking last episode about procrastination and delay. And this is a case of delay. I mean, I drove there, I went there, I had the papers, I had a letter for him, but it didn't feel right, and I didn't go in. I sat for half an hour, listened to MMD, and turned away and said no, and came up with a new idea. I'm going to go to his boss. So I was going to go to the head, the dean of tourism and hospitality at my college. Drafted a new letter, directed to her, and then thought, okay, just wait. And while I'm waiting, I book the CN Tower, and I find out group sales. It used to be $13.50 a student. Sorry, it's $28 a student. Whoa. I got 40 students. It's gone from $13.50 to $28 like in 1 year. Yes, because it includes a special 3D movie, and you have no choice. And, of course, now it's like prepare for a three-hour tour instead of, you know, our usual 1 hour. And holy shit. So I realized, okay, and do a little math. Whoa, this is going to cost me an extra $600. I can't take it out of the tour. I've already promised it. But $600 more it's costing me that I hadn't really budgeted for. I mean, that's why, you know, you don't need to know how I do my business, but... So I think, okay, wait a minute now. I'm going to give the college $500 to get Holt's families, maybe. Maybe now I'm not going to give them $500. I'm not going to make that deal. I'm just going to have to find these Holt's families somewhere else, and those things will cancel out. Had I gone an hour earlier in and found that man and said, here's the deal, here's $500, you know, I'm giving you $500, that would be an extra $1,100 plus. Plus, if I was going to take on this student, I was going to have to pay for all his costs or her costs. And that's going to be another few hundred bucks. So the delay may have paid off. It changed my thinking, but it still leaves me kind of antsy. And anyway, you're not really interested in how I run my business. I'm doing this, I guess, because I have to vent and convince myself that my inaction is not so bad. Inaction, looking out the kitchen window, watching the squirrels eat all the bird food. There's a beautiful... Yesterday we had a yellow finch, and of course we've got the cardinals who come by. But the squirrels basically just get down there and eat everything. Break off the little foot pegs for the birds. Chew bigger holes so they can get their whole damn mouth in there. And, but I'm looking out at the grass, and it's nothing but suddenly, ooh, bright yellow dandelions. And then weeds of, you know, whole plants growing on the lawn. My lawn is probably the worst in the neighborhood. I let it go. And I look, and I go, well, I'll just get the mower out and just mow the fuck out of it. You know, and just, it's all green. It happens to be different shades of green and moss overgrown here and this and that. And I'm thinking, do I really care? I don't really care. I only care if I think it bothers my wife. And maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, I don't know. But I don't care that the neighbors are going to say, oh, what a terrible household. But I don't know that I'm fully independent to the point where I like to think I'm free and I am who I am. This image I like to build of myself. And this is getting back to the topic I was sort of exchanging with Shane B. out in the West Coast about expressing yourself, being yourself, finding your true self. And how much of my true self is a little bit conservative and I'm living in this house and I got to do these things. And how much is just, no, I really don't care. I mean, I look around my house. The bathroom, the wallpaper's starting to peel. The cold water tap still doesn't go on after, that's years now. There's still a big hole in the kitchen under where the guy had to fix the drain in the bathtub. Hasn't been painted, the wallpaper. I'm just letting it go to shit. And it's just a matter of calling somebody. It's not even the money. There's money in the bank. I could do all this stuff, but it's... Is it procrastination or is it just indifference that I just don't care? And I worry a little bit about that. I worry about the fact when I'm trying to update my family about Coronation Street, if I watch an episode at 12:30 because of the playoffs, I can't remember any of the characters' names. And I'm thinking, holy shit, I'm here I am trying to get my shit together and trying to become one with myself. And my memory is heading south very, very quickly. Whoa, this brain is in a state of advanced decay. Now it's working, and I mean, I'll do fine. But like, for example, this course tonight, I love it. I mean, I will be in there in the moment. I will have my hand up. I'll be answering questions. I'll be tuning it in, paying attention, getting it. But I think back to the other courses I took last summer that I got A's or A pluses in. I can't remember the stuff I read. I've got a little book with me here on all this stuff. That's why I came here. I was going to read to refresh my mind on stuff. The art of integrative counseling. And it's all yellow highlighter, and I read through and I'm like, holy shit, yeah, I know that's true, I get it, but man, if you asked me to tell you what are the Adlerian concepts, I don't know. You know, what's a cognitive perspective? I could probably fudge it on a test, but so there's a time limit here to what I've got to work with. And I still feel I'm due for a big change, a life change, that I'm going along, things are good. And I'm not looking for disaster, like something bad is going to happen. I'm going to get diagnosed with cancer or Alzheimer's or whatever. I don't mean that. I mean one that I am going to make happen, that I am going to actively change something in my life to take another step forward the way I used to. Feel the need to make these changes for growth. That maybe I'm a little afraid of being a little bit complacent. And all these little things going back to, like I keep coming back to this doctor and the group therapy, Dr. Knobloch and the group therapy that I went through, and thinking there's a significance here. In fact, yesterday, I ordered his book online. I ordered it. I've got to have his one book that he wrote, you know, in Vancouver on his theory. And then today, there's a special release of John Lilly, his book, A Metaprogramming of the Human Mind, and it's about his work with sensory deprivation tanks. And I got as far as checkout on Amazon and just balked at paying the $8 postage. And I have the feeling I'm going to go back home and I'm going to buy it. And I'm like, Jesus, man, you're buying all these books, but when are you reading? You're not reading. I've got with me here in this, I've got three books with me here. Here's my other book on Zen. And this little extra Henry Miller I picked up, Henry Miller, The Colossus of Marusi, which I have already and read, but I couldn't resist this little $1.95 pocketbook edition. It's beautiful. It's an old soft cover paperback, and I just had to have it. It's in great shape. God, I should look after it. When am I going to read it? Gee, on the back, The New Republic, Erica Jong. Miller is our modern American Rabelais, always as drunk with language as he is with sexuality, as much in love with words as he is with women. I love the sheer energy of his writing. Well, I hate that review, because that's not him. That's not really what Miller is about. A Spellbinder. Here we are. A beautiful and shimmering, evocative, perhaps Miller's best book. A Spellbinder. At his best, he writes on a level of true expressiveness, generating a kind of all-out poetry, at once genial and savage. The Colossus of Marusi, in his spiritual no less than his physical dimensions, is a man of genius, possessed of epic powers. As a monologist, as an improviser of tales and recounter of experiences wide and deep. Engaging potpourri of mysticism, egoism, sexuality, surrealism, and anarchism. Harper's. I love Henry Miller. And here's the thing. All this does fit. Believe it or not, everything I'm telling you now ties together, because these are my true heroes. Here I've just mentioned Miller. I've mentioned John Lilly, the guy who did the sensory deprivation tanks, the mind of the dolphins, LSD and ketamine. And always mentioning, of course, Timothy Leary. And yet, what am I doing? I'm just leading a very conventional life. Wait, when am I going to step out, really? I have stepped out in the past, and maybe now it's not the time. Hey, I'm a father, I'm a parent, I'm a teacher, I'm a, you know, owner of a house, or at least owner with a mortgage around his neck. Maybe this is time for me to keep a low profile and just carry on and do whatever it is I have to do. So did I express anything? Was I truthful? Is this going to make me feel any better? I know I had to come down here and do this because I just couldn't stop. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read. I'm going to stop this now. This is Dixon Jane's, God damn, 457. By the way, my goal is still stop at 500 and then shift gears and start writing. So that's the goal. That's the plan. Stick with me. getting to 500 episodes, and then I start writing. We'll see what happens. Okay, so back to escaping. Talk to you a bit later. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For those of you still out there. Oh, by the way, one last thing. When I go on Google and say, who's your audience? I keep seeing these things in, Laos, Poland, somewhere in Romania, Eastern Europe. If there's anybody out there other than American or Canadian who actually listens to this podcast, please drop me an email. I'm not going to turn you into the police. I wouldn't want to think it was just the police listening in. Just DicksonJanes, DicksonJanes at gmail.com. Just say, hi, Rush, now, hang ya, whatever it is you speak. And let me know that you're out there, that it's for real, not just that somebody skimming by and accidentally stumbling on this DicksonJanes podcast. If you're a real listener from outside of North America, send me an email. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I am the very model of a modern major general. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England and Dakota fights historical from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. I am very well acquainted too with matters mathematical. I understand equations both the simple and quadratical. About polynomial theorem, I am teeming with a lot of news. With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. Many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. Many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. Many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. I am very good at integral and differential calculus. I know the scientific names of beings and animalculus. In short, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general. I know our mythic history, King Arthur's and Sir Caradox. The answer hard acrostics have a pretty taste for paradox. In court in elegiacs, all the crimes of Helicabalus. In conics, I can flow peculiarities parabolus. I can tell undoubted Raphael some Derrida's and Sophonies. I know the croaking chorus from the frogs of Aristophanes. And I can hum a fugue of which you've heard the music's dinner for. Dinner for. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore.
And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore.
Then I can write a Washington Babylonic uniform and tell you every detail of Caractacus's uniform. In short, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general.
In short, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, he is the very model of a modern major general.
In fact, when I know what is meant by mammalian and ravelin, when I can tell at sight a mouse a rifle from a javelin, when such affairs of sorties and surprises I'm more wary at, and when I know precisely what is meant by commissariat, when I have learned what progress has been made in modern gunnery, when I know more of tactics than a novice in a nunnery, in short, I have a smattering of elemental strategy. I have it. You'll say a better major general and never satisfy.
You'll say a better major general and never satisfy. You'll say a better major general and never satisfy. You'll say a better major general and never satisfy.
For my military knowledge, though I'm plucky and adventurous, has only been but down to the beginning of the century. But still, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general.
You'll say a better major general, animal, and mineral, he is the very model of a modern major general.
Chick, chick. Okay, this, I promise you, is going to be a short recording. By short, I mean under 12 minutes. I'm thrilled. I'm looking at a picture on my iPhone right now of Jason Rees and Dave Delaney in the same photo, head by head, at, I guess, PodCamp Nashville. It's a thrill. I just tweeted, when worlds collide in such a good way. It's terrific. Dave tweeted, hey, look who I found, Scarborough dude. And it's so exciting. It really is. I mean, I know for a lot of you out there, you're saying, what the hell? What? So what? But these are people who probably didn't know each other before, hadn't met, and here they are meeting in real life through this network of podcasters and friends. It's terrific. I'm really happy about that. It just reinforces to me what a great hobby this is. It's Saturday morning of the long weekend, the May 2-4 weekend, although it's not 2-4. I don't know why. Anyway, it's the way it ended up. It's a long weekend. I'm going to stick around home this weekend, I think, and hopefully have my wife allow me to help in the garden, you know, pulling weeds and stuff, because it's that time of year. But meanwhile, I snuck out early. I got up early. Went to McDonald's because I have these coupons, so I can get a disgusting, you know, one of those potato things, an Egg McMuffin and a coffee for $3.45 tax included, which is a pretty good deal just to get your day started. So I buy that. I bring the Morning Globe and Mail, which is delivered free to me 6 days a week. Great paper. And just came down here. I had best episode ever on in the background. It's a long episode. I mean, these guys go well beyond their hour, which is fine because, hey, all three of them have a lot to say, except for Bob, who doesn't get much of a chance. Anyway, it was just so nice. The Globe on my lap, my coffee, friends with me in the car, you know, through this podcast. And just a very nice way to start the day, that's all. Anthony, on his show, earlier was talking about being teenagers and hanging out at a local shop, a place where he'd go. And it's sort of, to him, it was the past, you know, just kids hanging out. And it was, yeah, that's what we did. There was always a bakery or a pastry shop or someplace where you could go after school with your friends. This is where we bought our hockey cards, you know, and with those flat pieces of old gum. But man, you got these neat cards, whatever you're collecting, or baseball. I wasn't too much into that. Football. Your cards, and have a pop. And often there are like pastry shops that have something. Lizanne's, I think, was ours. And these were kind of interesting. There's a couple we used to go to. And this is sort of pre-Korean. Your people were likely survivors of World War II who'd come over and started a new life. I remember one of the ladies had the number tattooed on her wrist, and she was, you know, she would show us and tell us about it. Anyway, that just, you know, set off another train. And again, that's why I like listening to podcasts. Suddenly Anthony's going down memory lane that touches on my memory lane. Dave Broadbeck said, hey, I had the Hardy Boys Detective Handbook. I thought I was the only person in the world who had the Hardy Boys Detective Handbook. I loved it. I loved the Hardy Boys. But then, you know, I'm a simple man. I also built model car kits. I don't think Dave did that. Anyway, I'm happy. I'm going to go home very soon and join my wife. But what a great way to get up early. Just kind of sneak out of the house. My son went off to see his girlfriend and won't be back till sometime today. And meanwhile, I'm communicating with my other son out in the West Coast who lost his wallet through celebrating. He's desk couch surfing, which is great. And he went out to celebrate the last night of some French students staying with him. And just overindulged, lost his wallet. And I thought, oh, shit, man, he had credit cards, OHIP, you know, his health card, everything in there. The next day, I don't quite know how it worked out, but for $100 reward, he got it back from some kind of a street person. I don't know the whole story. I'm just glad he got it back. And hopefully, lesson learned, like it was almost learned the last time this happened to him. Anyway, my wife says, my God, both our sons are a little bit too much like their father, and I'm afraid that's true. I'm just happy. I had things I've been communicating, back-channeling with different people about things in life. I'm excited about my course Thursday night. Again, we talked about group counseling, and they showed a video with my hero, Carl Rogers, and we all had to react to it. And I was the only one reacting from an older person's point of view, because when I looked at this old black and white video from the early 60s, I could relate to it. Hey, yeah, that's, I know those people. And to the other students in the class who are younger, this was really dated, and the way they talked, and but it was great that it provoked discussion. And there's only six of us in the class, and I'm already, by the second week, the dynamics are shifting, changing. People are, you know, personalities are emerging. And that's what this course will be all about. And I know, you know, we've got a total of 15 classes. I'll miss the last one. I'll be in Quebec City. But for the rest, there's going to be a lot of development, a lot of interchange. But anyway, it also brought back full memories watching that encounter session of my own group therapy from 40 years ago when I joined Dr. Knobloch's group. I know I have mentioned this earlier, but it's just so exciting to Google and research and find out, wow, this guy was a pioneer in the Czech Republic post-war or during the time of communism, of trying to find quick ways of cost-efficient ways of helping people with various disorders. And group therapy was the way to go. So that excited me. And then, of course, we have to write our journal. And man, when I write, I really choose my words. I go back and I revise and I take something out and I go for just the right word. And I find a word and I search its meaning to make sure he has that exactly what I want to say. Even though I know I like that feeling of reaffirmation, I guess, of saying, yes, that is exactly, that particular definition of that word says exactly what I want to be expressing here. I spend a lot of time, and I hope my teacher appreciates not just the depth and intensity of my thinking, but also my use of writing. Speaking of writing, I'm so much in the back of my mind thinking about how I do want to write this book. I'm not going to tell you all of it now because it's still evolving, but I really do want to get to some serious writing, say a year from now, when I've completed 500 episodes of this podcast. That's the plan anyway, whether I'll follow through or do my usual, that was then, this is now, I've changed my mind. That's quite possible too, given that I've owned up to the fact that I just want to do what I want to do. So I guess that's it. That's almost, 9 minutes. What have we got left? Noisy cars to the left of us. The park is still empty. It's a bit overcast and cool for this holiday weekend, so that's kind of nice. And I'm just very happy. Oh, yes. I started reading through the books that my students wrote. The girls who come every summer to Canada on my study tour have to write like an essay style on a topic of something, and how does the public space differ? And convivial Canadian people, no foreigners, same people. And all it is they've picked a topic and they interview or talk to people. A country which is full of gentle communications. All this is about Canada. Open-minded society. And that's the one I like the most, because that's a girl who stayed with somebody who had some lesbian and gay friends. And for this girl in Japan, a 16-year-old girl, this is the first time to maybe to meet these people and realize, wow, they're kind of nice and everybody's friends and nobody's hung up about it. And that was a real education. She wrote this wonderful passage about this, of how it's just not accepted in Japan. And she interviewed some people, and I thought, wow, this is an education. It's not just, of course, the wonderful sightseeing and stuff we do and the fun they have, but these girls are here to learn about their culture. Then, of course, they reflect back on their own Japanese culture. And they're staying with multicultural families, so somebody will bring them off on a Saturday to a Baptist church where everybody is singing and holding hands, and wow, this is not like what I thought church was about. Well, it's because it's a different church. And I realized, holy shit, this is my creation. This is me who's coordinating. Without me, this program doesn't exist. This, you know, and I don't mean that as bragging rights. What I mean and what I realized when I read through this, and seriously, the tears were streaming down my face. Well, no, a couple of tears came to my eyes. All right, it wasn't a full-out wail. It was a little bit of crying for happiness and joy that all this talk I do about trying to bring people together and worlds together and this, like, being my holy mission, I'm doing it. That is what's happening. I am hand-picking great Canadian families to host 32 of these girls every year for 20 years. And I'm hand-picking. I went to the school yesterday to recruit Canadian high school students who will work with these girls for 8 hours a day, 6 days, so they get to know each other really well. And the friendships continue, and the email carries on, and the sending of photos, and the Facebooking, and they're creating these connections. I am doing something worthwhile with my life. I'm thrilled about that. And when I talk about the various pieces in my life that they seem disjointed, well, what about the counseling thing? How does that fit into this? Well, what about your regular teaching job? Well, what about your voyage of self-discovery? I keep saying they are all coming together, and it's a matter of they may already be together, but I just haven't been able to fully realize that. And I'm getting closer and closer and closer to this sense of a oneness. I'm not there yet. There's still some barriers. There's still some distance. There's still some gaps that I can't seem to cross over yet. But it's happening. And an awful lot of it has to do with just simply believing in myself. And as much as it may sound all the time like I'm always bragging, I'm not. I'm very much short-selling myself and doubting and not realizing, holy shit, man, no. Look. And it was just reading these girls' reflections that put that into my mind that, man, this is for real. These are lessons that will stay with them for life. Wow. So, having said that, I got to get busy and find some new homestays. Doug. anyway, all right, I've gone over my limit, 1325. Bye for now. I'll talk to you later, but I'm glad I expressed that. I really needed to get that out because it was one of those revelations, you know. Holy shit, yeah. Wow. All right, bye for now. There's always a plane flying over at the end. Did you ever notice that? Oh, yeah. I want to be joyously happy all the time, but no, that's not likely. Hey, let's not aim too high, buddy. Get real.
Happy talk, keep talking, happy talk. Talk about things you'd like to do. Gotta have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how you gonna have a dream come true? Talk about a moon floating in the sky, looking like a lily on a lake. Talk about a bird learning how to fly, making all the music he can make. Happy talk, keep talking, happy talk. Talk about things you'd like to do. You gotta have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how you gonna have a dream come true? Talk about a boy saying to a girl, golly, baby, I'm a lucky cuss. Talk about the girl saying to the boy, you and me is lucky to be us. happy talk, keep talking happy talk. Talk about things you'd like to do. You gotta have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how you gonna have a dream come true? If you don't talk happy and you never have a dream, then you'll never have a dream come true.
It's a seaplane. I'm in a location I've podcasted from before, facing the boating club, the yacht club, the very fancy one with all the yachts in the water now, looking up at the Scarborough Bluffs behind them, and just opposite me, of course, is Lake Ontario. The park, I'm on the beach side, it is full today, because this is the holiday weekend, and I love to see it. It's whole families of the new Canada, and by that I mean a largely immigrant population of people who look different from me. For instance, there were two places just in the short walk I did where groups of kids were playing cricket. You didn't used to see kids with cricket bats in parks. And whole groups of families and food and barbecues going. And it's really nice to see. I mean, everybody's really happy and calm. And I don't think these are the people who litter. I think they have a pretty good sense of, we're bringing this stuff in and this is what we take away. These aren't the ones that worry me. It's overcast, which kind of spoils things a little, you know, when the sun is out. Oh, you get a break and it's really nice, and now all I'm looking up at is a cloudy sky. But again, the weather means nothing to you. I woke up feeling absolutely great, which is kind of funny because I didn't get to bed till well after 3 this morning, and was awake by 8. I watched John Lennon, or Lennon in New York City. And it was a really good video. Just, you know, if you love John Lennon, of course it's going to be a good video. A lot of stuff by him, about him, studio recording clips that Yoko had, you know, was behind. I mean, she didn't make the video, but she gave access to all the stuff. And it was mainly about, you know, the Nixon administration hounding this guy to get him thrown out of the country because of a drug bust many years before in England, which hadn't stopped anybody else from coming, but they realized, Jerry Rubin and the others, that John Lennon was a great political tool they could use to beef up the anti-war movement. John was fully into that, of course, his whole peace movement and ideology. And they said, this guy's dangerous, let's get J. Edgar Hoover on him, and they did. And they made his life miserable, and they followed him, and his phone was taped, and the people around him, and anyway, worth movies, worth catching on Netflix. I think it's just called Lennon in NYC. And then, gosh, I don't know, watched something else and went back up to my room where I keep my computer and started working on my database again. Earlier in the day, as I was telling my friend Shane B., I hit delete form instead of delete record, and I immediately got rid of what, 600 students or something, and just absolutely made a mess of things and panicked, and then tried to go into you know, what's the Apple backup time machine, and realized I don't think I'm packing up my whole computer. I'm only backing up certain things, and this database, being a new program, was not one of them. Now, fortunately, I had a backup of an older program, Bento, with all this stuff that I could do. But I lost a day's work, like a whole day's work of stuff I put in. And then, as I decided I'm going to go back and start working on it again, I found a much better way of linking the two databases I wanted, which is the students who come every year with the host families I've used in the past. And I just, my nature is I want to have every record. Like, I want to know what family in 1993 had what student. Even though I don't need that information at all, it's like in keeping with my keeping, I had to have it. And it's terrific. I do have that stuff. And I was able to get it back, and I realized, okay, wait a minute now. I had it on my iPad mini. I can put it up to the cloud, iCloud, bring it back down from iCloud. So everything got solved. But not only that, when I went back up to my computer and stayed up till 3, I made a much better system. And I felt proud. Like, it's fun to problem solve. I'm you know, somebody else might have done this in just a matter of minutes. For me, it took a long time. But I had to actually think and look at things and figure how things worked and play with this and understand this program, which I highly recommend, called Tap Forms, since FileMaker is abandoning Bento, Fat Forms. Tap Forms for the Mac. Excellent. Really, really nice. You can customize it any way you want. So I just felt good about that. And I went to bed feeling great. Wow. I got back everything I'd lost, and not only that, made it much, much better with an active and a dormant and an unknown button so that I can just deal with the ones that are active now and cross-reference. And then I can open up a page to one host family and bam, look down at every student they've had linked to that student database. And oh, lovely. And I don't know, maybe I don't sound like the kind of guy who does that crap. But I do, and I love it. It's fun. I love computers. I love Apple products, all right? Have been since 1984 when I first went to Japan. I got my hands on an Apple IIe just before the Macintosh came out. Okay, moving on. Why else did I feel good? Well, I already told you yesterday, I feel great. I'm still reading these stories from my students from Japan. I realize, wow, this is a real learning program. It is truly a Canadian study tour, which is the name of my company. And I haven't done a whole lot with it, but what I have done, the quality is good. These students are going back. So every year I think, well, how can I do it? I'm going to make it better. What can we do? But there's another part of me thinks you don't, it's a matter of the people you get involved. Have quality people involved, and these kids are going to get a lot out of it. And that goes to hiring the students, the teachers, and the people I work with in partnerships. And I feel terrific about that. I really do. And now I'm thinking, bigger pictures, wow, this friend from Costa Rica who is very interested in doing a similar kind of program, wouldn't it be nice if I could get a trip to Costa Rica out of this? I don't want to do a lot. I'd certainly like to be an advisor. So the wheels are turning. This is such a great model that I've built for this study tour. Well, I built with help. I mean, I take a lot of credit for things that other people have done. Sorry. I inherited all of this and just kept it going. The school itself made the girls write these books. That wasn't my idea, but now I'm realizing the value of it. It's tremendous. So, I've just been lucky. I'm not trying to take credit here, although it does sound like that, doesn't it? But I can pass that knowledge on to other people and share it, which is worthwhile. And then I had another idea altogether, but you know, they're doing a proposal program on writing for this program, like I went on, these GCLEs, they're called, Global Citizenship and Learning, Global Citizenship and Equity Learning Experience. And I have an idea. I don't think I should share it with you just now, but I have an idea. So I've put my name down to apply to sit in on a session where they teach you how to write these things. And I'm going to get in touch with a couple of people, or one in particular, and see if I can't come up with a little scheme that, And if nothing came of this, or the Costa Rica, or anything else, it wouldn't matter, because the fact is, I'm stimulated, I'm turned on, I'm excited. And this is just a good thing in life, to have your brain continually refreshing itself and getting excited about ideas. And I think most of my younger friends, I would say my good friends like Dave Delaney and others, are doing this. I mean, Dave, Jesus, man, he put out that book, New Business Networking. It's an excellent book. and running PodCamp Nashville and the Geek Breakfast in Nashville. And you can't do that unless you're committed and stimulated and excited and wanting to achieve things. And that driving force in life is a great thing. I'd say the same about Shane Potvin out in Windsor and his business, and it's wonderful. So again, I'm mentioning people that I only know through podcasting, but man, I really have to do an awful lot, give an awful lot of credit to the people like Bob and Mark who started the PAB and brought people together and all the interchanges, the sharing of energy and ideas, the stimulation, the mutual respect, all this stuff that is going on is such a positive effect in life. It's really, really wonderful. And as I look out at these yachts, I don't need any one of them. My good buddy out in Nova Scotia, the Nova Scotia guy, he took us out in his beautiful sailboat. That was lovely. These are bigger and close, a few yachts in here too. And people say, oh, wow, to have the money. I have no interest at all. I talked about the disgusting shape of our backyard. Well, yesterday my wife spent the day weeding, and I cut down some branches from a dead tree due to the ice storm, bagged them, and then mowed the front and the back lawn. And it looks great. You look out, it's short, it's green. It doesn't matter that it's covered in weeds and dandelions because they're all green anyway. And that's great, just looking out the kitchen window. She's a little concerned about the feeder and believes all the feed that comes down, that the squirrels shake down onto the ground. And you see the robins and not the robins, really. They like worms. But you see the other birds pecking away and the squirrels chomping it down. But we know it's also attracting the mice or the rats to get at this same food. And she's just not sure that it belongs there, so that's something else. Speaking of women, I'm only going to say one thing. Sometimes, oh my God, women can be very difficult to understand. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not going to elaborate on that. If you're a man listening to this, you know if you're a woman listening to this, you're probably smiling and say, you betcha. Because, wow. Anyway, that is another story. What did I want to do? I guess I just... Oh, yeah, the other day, man, I went out. Again, this is this... You know, I talk about when I finish giving up working, when there's no longer money coming in, I'm going to have to really change my lifestyle because... What was it? Friday, I guess. Thursday, Friday? I don't know. I went out and bought about $90 worth of wine and only a couple of beer, but just at the LCBO, just to go in. Ooh, that looks good. Ooh, I like that one. Ooh, that one's on sale. Ooh, I love French wine. And just as I mention it now, I want to go home and have a glass of wine. I love red wine. So the fact that I can just slap it onto a credit card and bring home the wine, I'm not drinking a whole bunch. I'll only have two glasses in the evening, you know, and so I've got a little bit of a supply in the basement now. But I love it. And the same day, I saw an ad. John Lilly is, during the 25th anniversary of his programming and meta-programming of a human machine or something like that. I can't remember the title. I have his other book in my pocket with me right now, The Center of the Cyclone, which I highly recommend. The Center of the Cyclone, an autobiography of inner space. John C. Lilly, author of Man and Dolphin. I ordered that special 25th anniversary copy because it was on sale, but I couldn't get free shipping. And they keep saying, well, if you just buy this many more books, well, holy shit, wouldn't you know? I didn't get free shipping, but I ended up buying $85 worth of books. Books I don't have the time to read. Books I don't need. I got two, Creating Your Own God, a Leary book that I don't have. I went downstairs and I took pictures of the covers of all my Timothy Leary books. And so I was able to see, well, what don't I have? Starting Your Own Religion, I guess it was. I had to get that. And then another a book about Lily and the gang up at Millbrook. Now, Millbrook was the estate in Upper New York State, where he got this mansion from a very rich family. I can't remember who they were, but connected to some dynasty. And they just turned it over to him, and he did these weekends and special trips for any of the rich people who had come out from New York City or wherever and get turned on by Timothy Leary and go through this. This is when he started the IFIF, I think the International Federation of Inner Freedom or something like that. I don't know. All that is in this book. So it was another, I mean, I love that part of the Timothy Leary legend. It's so interesting to think, oh my God, would it ever been neat to have gone up to Millbrook where he conducted these sessions, Leary himself, and they just took over this house and they had special, you know, meditation rooms and places you could go just a trip on pure clinical acid, the stuff he was getting from Sandoz back then. And, of course, the police kicked him out and raided him because that's America. We can't have that kind of freedom. We're America. We're not going to allow you that kind of freedom. So, anyway, I got a book on that, the John Lilly one, the Starting Your Religion one. And I also ordered, separately from that, Jesus, the book by the Dr. Knobloch, who's counseling sessions, group therapy I went through. I figured I'll get his textbook. That's great, since I'm wanting to talk about being a counselor. How does that fit? Well, it's interesting. And another one. It's wonderful. And who cares? It's just plastic. Boom, here's a number. Charge it to that. I'll pay for it. Or my company will pay for it. Doesn't pay for the wine. Just coming clear right now in case anybody's listening in. I understand now. All of us are under threat of being listened to. I'm a little worried when I go to Colorado this summer that, by golly, would anybody, I mean, I'm not important, but would anybody think the guy, this Scarborough dude who does the Dixon Jane's podcast is in any way a radical or dangerous? I don't think so. Nobody listens. So I'm just telling you, if you happen to be listening in or coming across that or somebody said, flag this guy, don't give me a hard time at the fucking border. You know, yes, I smoke pot. I'm not going to bring any with me. I'm going to Colorado to get the AirPod, you asshole. Ooh, Jesus, I shouldn't have even said that. You know, you see, this is it. What kind of freedom do we have if we can't even express these thoughts? I'm not bringing it back to Canada. No, Mr. Customs Man, don't you worry at that at all. Can't wait to try the brownies on the cookies. Okay, I guess so. I don't know. It's still cloudy and cold. I had to vent. I woke up, in spite of that short sleep, feeling so good about everything in my life. And this has been consistent. And I think if I wind the clock back, I think if I go back, if you were to listen to these podcasts from even 5 or 6 years ago, I don't think I was as happy a person as I am now. And that's a good thing, because I'm 5 or 6 years older. Usually you get older and you get more miserable. Or so people would lead you to believe. It's not true. I feel great. There's an awful lot to look forward to. And I keep talking about being old, but I'm not old. Fucking 66 is nothing. All I get is a little bit arthritis and rheumatism and backaches. Fuck that. So what? I can live with that. It's not the big C. Jesus. A few aches and pains, take a pill. Go sit down. Watch TV. You'll be fine. You betcha. So anyway, boys, girls, if I had any way of sharing true love with you, I would. I don't know that we can do that in words or on a podcast, but I really, 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 really want more of you to just feel joyful and happy. I think I already mentioned how thrilled I was that Mr. Up in This Brain met Mr. Nashville Delaney. This is just great. And just, it doesn't really matter. It's not earth-changing. It's just great. It's just neat. And I have no doubt that there will be more meetings and encounters and fun to be had by all of us. So I'll leave it there. That reminds me, damn, it's about time that Anthony and I did another Canadian podcast boofle. So, all right, I'm going to let it go. I've just refreshed, I've digested. I'm sure there was a ton of things I really want to talk about that I didn't, that I've left off. But I'm going to go back listening to Internet Boyfriends and Norm Augustinus and enjoy the rest of this overcast. Ooh, chill in the air day. But I'm warm. I got my nice black Barclay coat that they gave me for the 20th anniversary of my tour. Love it. And maybe I'll read a little bit of John Lely again. Bye for now.